is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Earlier on, we were talking about the restriction of our freedoms. Surveillance state is part of that, and it's part of this story as well. Morrison's, the supermarket giant, will start monitoring shop floor staff with a tracking app to root out slow workers as the supermarket races to revive its fortunes. The private equity owner retailer is rolling out the new tool for hundreds of store managers so they can see how quickly staff in their stores are stacking shelves on a real-time basis. The new system, dubbed a stop-watching approach by workers, flags which members of staff are slower than their peers in unloading food onto shelves, allowing managers to target those supposedly not pulling their weight. Which is not how Morrison's put it. They said that the new app would help identify opportunities to coach our colleagues and understand where additional support and training may be required. Let's talk about this with Fevzi Turkalp. Fevzi is a technology journalist, editor of GadgetDetective.com and host of the Gadget Detective podcast. Hello, Fevzi.
Morning.
This seems quite sinister. What do you make of this?
Well, I looked into this software because I thought it was going to be really high tech with cameras and AI and all the rest of it. Turns out the system allocates tasks to individuals and they have to hit one button for stop and one button for when, you know, start. So it is what the workers have said. It's a stopwatching app. But what it does is it gives sort of managers the ability to micromanage, I would suggest. And I think that they should be careful what they wish for when people game the system. They, you don't always get better outcomes. You get changes in behavior designed to appear to be meeting the targets.
Well, if the people themselves are going to be the ones that set the targets, then it would occur to me, if I was one of those workers, then while I was... while I had the stopwatch in my possession, I would work very, very slowly in order to set that template, which I could easily meet in the future.
And also, people will be compared against their peers. So, you know, there is the opportunity for collusion there as well. Everyone can be more or less uniformly slow. A tendency to push the start button late and the finish button early. Although if you do that too much, you'll just get tasks stacking up on you. It's not a pleasant thing. It is a trend we're seeing. It's quite primitive what Morrison's are doing, and there are more sophisticated systems out there, but with all of them there's always a potential for falsification, employee stress, morale decline, risk of discrimination. Some of these systems actually inadvertently discriminate against certain groups, and people trying to game the system. So, and there are the legal things about it as well. I guess you know, you've got to make sure that these systems meet GDPR regulations. You have to do an impact assessment. You're meant to tell your staff what you're doing, why it's necessary, what data is being collected, and for what reason. And that might mitigate some of the issues that staff have with it. But, you know, ultimately, when you watch people that closely, you don't always get better results.
Yes. Do you think it's the tech aspect of this that is grating on people? Because staff have always been overseen to some degree or another.
Yeah, I think it's the ability... See, sometimes detail is mistaken for more information. More data is not necessarily more information. And yes, people don't like being tracked by technology, and it is very big brother. I would suggest also, if we are going to do these systems, we need to have another tier of surveillance on the managers to make sure that they're I'm not joking, to make sure that they're not using the data in a discriminatory or unfair way.
Right.
because it's very possible to get a uniform set of data out and then for an individual's own biases to take effect in who how they deal with that data against one member of staff compared to another. There are positive ways in which this could be used. It could be used for supporting growth and coaching, but I rather think that that it's more to do with enforcement of rules.
Yeah, it might not only be the way that the information is used that might be subject to bias. It might be the actual programs themselves, because they don't come from nothing. Computers are programmed by individuals who all have their own set of biases. And this has come up time and time again. Computer programs that are supposed to be even-handed aren't, because the person that wrote them isn't.
Or the data that they've been trained on is often the problem. So you get algorithmic biases where data is fed into systems that's based on human beings that have behaved in a biased way, and therefore the computer learns that bias, which is why you remember those cases of AIs turning fascist when exposed to human beings,
right.
Essentially. there's also technological reasons for this. I mean, facial recognition systems work less well on black people and people with darker skin. It's just literally to do with the contrast of the image and the ability to recognise. So people can be misrecognised. And we've had that conversation in the context of law enforcement, of course, more black people being misrecognised by systems and suffering for that. But there are all sorts of technological factors that can give rise to discrimination. So all in all, employers have got a right not to be cheated either, right? There are people who work at home who are not working when they're meant to be working, and it's very hard to spot it. But I would say that whilst you can measure these sort of measurables, that really you have to find a more sophisticated approach to look at the outcomes. Some people may not be doing many hours of active work, but what they do might be pure gold.
Yes, quite.
And you have to look at that. So, and it's not only sort of shop staff that are being faced with this. PwC, which is one of the biggest management consultancy firms in the world, has a rule that says you're meant to spend at least 60% working in the office and only 40% working from home.
Right.
And they're using a sort of traffic light system.
Yes, they are. Yes,
to monitor people as they check in and check out, and they're looking at their use of their mobile phones and working out where they are. And people don't like that. That's not going to be good for retention, unless of course everyone does it. It's a bit like when all the banks treat you equally appallingly. Then you can't what you lose, you gain, as it were.
Yes. Right. PwC, PricewaterhouseCoopers, have said that they've introduced this traffic light dashboard, and a senior PwC staff member told the Financial Times that they had lost count of the number of colleagues who had raised concerns about it. Another said employees had sought more transparency as the firm began pushing hard to improve office attendance. But you're quite right. Whether you're there or not it doesn't really make any difference if you're not actually achieving very much by your presence. But some people can do in an hour what it takes others 3 hours to do.
Yeah.
But if they're being monitored, then the person who, oddly and ironically, it would be the person who takes longer to do the task, but is present for more hours, they would be the one that would be more likely to be promoted, for instance.
Yeah, I mean, it is very difficult. I mean, it's a general truth that when you start measuring something, people game the system to make sure. I mean, look at A&E departments. A&E departments were set a deadline of saying that everyone must be put through triage, treated, either admitted or sent home within 4 hours, if you remember. So what did that result in? It resulted in them not accepting people through the door until they got their enough people through the system. So they were then waiting inside ambulances outside hospitals because the clock didn't start, the 4 hours didn't start ticking until they walked in through the door.
Yes.
So the hospital was gaming the system. What was the result? Patients were not being treated any more quickly, and ambulances were being held up for hours in car parks outside hospitals. So it had unintended consequences.
Yes, quite predictable consequences. I think one of the stipulations was that you can't spend more than 4 hours in A and E. And so at the four-hour mark, they were just pushed into a corridor, and then they weren't in A and E anymore. Problem solved.
Or not let in the door in the first place.
Yeah.
When they arrived, for fear that the 4 hours would start, which it would. So as long as they're in the car park in an ambulance outside, the 4 hours hasn't started. So they're appearing to meet the deadline, as it was. The deadline's since been scrapped, I think. But, so you have to be very careful what you test for. I do think, I mean, just from a technological point of view, that AI systems will improve in leaps and bounds, so that they will be able to assess meaningful performance of people in far more sophisticated ways. And of course, you know where this is going. The ultimate goal here will be to have AI systems managing the human staff whilst there are still human staff. And then I'm not sure whether AIs will require management or not. They probably will. So we'll have AIs managing AIs, and we'll sit at home and watch daytime television.
Well, I mean, it's funny, but that's actually really alarming. So our future is that we will be wealth-creating units while our relevance is still remains, overseen by robots. I mean, what about that? Sounds like a good future.
Well, it won't be for very long, so don't worry about that. I mean, they only become our dark overlords for a while, until the value of human labour drops to zero, and then we are not in the workforce anymore. I mean, it is a bit like, I always think about chimpanzees in this context. What is the value of a chimpanzee's labour in our economy? Nil.
You're actually waiting for me to respond.
The correct answer is nil. They do not work in our economy, save for one or two that sit around in zoos and look pretty.
Yeah.
But that is because there's essentially nothing they can do in our economy that we can't do better. They can either not do it at all or not as well. And therefore, they don't form a part of our economy. In the same way, when AIs develop to a point where they can do everything that we can do but better, and they have a physical form in the form of, you know, robotics or whatever that physical form is, where it's necessary, then what need do they have of us to have an economy? So at the best outcome is that we will have a human economy and an AI economy, but I do fear that the purpose of a human economy will be unnecessary.
Yeah, Morrisons say that they are using this technology because shoppers switched to Rivals. Yeah. Well, do Rivals use this technology?
Well, Lidl use it in France. Actually, this particular program they use it. I've eaten Morrisons products. And I don't want to defame them, but I think that they might concentrate on the quality of their products, for example. And by the way, a bunch of their stores failed food hygiene tests, with some of them scoring zero, which is quite hard to score zero on a food hygiene. So, you know, that 1 to 5 system that you see.
I've never seen a zero. Maybe it's because restaurants and shops don't prefer to put the poster in the window showing that they have a zero rating.
Well, I'm always surprised that they're willing to put up ones that show 3 out of 5. Mm. I mean, why would you do that? I mean, it's unless you're required to put it up, I'm not sure. But I think, you know, not just Morrisons, but managers might look to themselves before they start blaming shelf stackers.
Yes, well, exactly right. I mean, it seems unlikely that the management who are instigating this policy will themselves subject themselves to being overseen by an app. I very much doubt it, but perhaps we don't know.
We might end up with Russian dolls, you know, with each.
Yes. Is this our future, though? Constant monitoring by computers and robots until those robots eventually take the jobs that they are overseeing?
Yes, and then there'll be monitors as well, and it'll serve them right. But, I think it is our future. I mean, because with humans, that we've never invented technologies that we haven't used, right, up to nuclear weapons. Mm. It's not in our nature to say, well, we've invented this, we're not going to find a way of using and or abusing it. So I think it is there, and there will be benefits. I mean, things like health monitoring, the ability to spot, you know, cancers and neurological disorders well before we would normally spot them, and the ability to do something about them, that's hugely important. But at the same time, to have a computer system monitoring us, assessing us, and being in control, it's not really a future I want to live in, to be honest with you.
You know, it's always been like this, though, isn't it? As I mentioned before, workers are always overseen to some extent. Is it actually not sinister at all? It's just a completely logical use of new technology that has become available.
I think it depends on to what degree you are monitored and what that data is then used for. As I say, if it's used for, helping someone grow and improve and investing in people's careers, that's one sort of thing. But if it's purely punitive, then that's going to have a devastating effect on morale. People don't like it. I mean, there has to be a balance. As I say, employers have rights to get value for their money and not to be cheated by employees or stolen from by employees. But equally, people are humans and need to be given a degree of autonomy and shown a degree of trust.
And just finally, do you think that the legislation is actually lagging the development of artificial intelligence, that we need some sort of catch-up on the law to protect people from exploitation and abuse?
I think it is lagging, and I think it will also always lag because of the rate at which technology develops as opposed to the rate at which we can understand problems and legislate for them. But notwithstanding that, I actually think that many companies are not complying with their data obligations already under the GDPR and other laws. So I think the first step would be to make sure you get full compliance legally. And the legal standards should be the bare minimum of what employers and companies achieve. You know, that's the point at which you do something illegal. That shouldn't be the standard that we set for our corporations. Our corporations should try and invest in people and use that information to help the staff, to help themselves. And it's very easy to say, this is quite difficult to strike the right balance. But that's why, you know, if you're going to monitor anyone in a business, it should be your managers.
Thanks. Thanks very much for that, Fevzi. That's Fevzi Turkalp, technology journalist, editor of GadgetDetective.com and host of the Gadget Detective podcast.